it to us tonight, today. We ask that you just minister to us, in us and through us. Lord, we want to be one in you, yes. But, oh God, we want to know you better. It's all about Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. We want you this morning to be glorified and honored. So I ask that your word this morning will do its work that you've deemed it to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before I come, I'm going to ask Janet, if Janet would just come and read. She's reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 21, and verses 1 to 14. It's a well-known portion, you probably know it, but that's what we're looking at this morning.
I'm reading from John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. They said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. That night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "'Tis the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it up, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them. Did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Lovely. Thank you, Jana. Yeah, give us some encouragement. I don't know how you feel in these days in which we live in. I'm very conscious of the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to enter into a period of great tribulation, great trials. And that video spoke to that Nick shown really sums up some of the things I want to say this morning. Because I want to say to you this morning, be ready. be ready. I've always believed for many years that in the latter days, the prophecy in Joel said, in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The world has not seen that in its entirety that God intended. I believe before the Lord Jesus Christ comes, this world is going to have a taste of what heaven really is through the church. And the reason I say that is because lost humanity is going to a lost destiny outside of Christ, and there is no return. I want to tell you something, you know, there is a judgment coming, and it's a judgment that's not reversible. And it's a judgment that's going to execute and bring in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to come into the church. You've got to make yourself ready. Book of Revelation makes it very, very clear. The church or the bride has made herself ready. Don't expect the Lord to do it. You have got to get yourself ready for the return of the Lord. How do we do it? I do. And this morning I felt that Nick asked me to speak connecting to casting your net and mending your net. And I'm going to speak about that. Because I honestly believe we have really got to wake up, folks, and really understand seriously what it's all about. You are saved, but it's not a ticket into heaven, as so many believers believe. I got my ticket to heaven, I sit back and do nothing. That is not it. You are going to be judged for your service. And if you're not doing what God wants you to do, you're not living your life right before God, look out. You're going to answer before the Lord. As a verse, and I know I'm going off beaming, but I just feel this. But there is a verse, and I once said to Nick, it's the most fearful thing in the Bible. I think it was you that told me. When it says that when you stand before the Lord, you hear the Lord say, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I'll tell you what, I some years ago, if you look at what hell is like, there is no peace, there's nothing. There's no consciousness. You can't say that in hell that you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're not going to do it. I once spoke on it and I put the fear of hell in people. Because I think it's time that we realise what our salvation is and what it costs the Lord and how much he loves us. So, so much. Why does he love us? Because he knows that humanity is destined for the lost eternity. God cannot have sin in heaven. People think that they can get into heaven with a ticket and they can do this and they can do that, they can earn it. You can't earn anything. It's all of grace. We have to get before the Lord and say, Lord, it's all because of Jesus. And so I want to share with you this morning about casting your net. And Janet read for us, John 21, verses 1 to 14. The first thing it says that I want to say to you, in casting your net, you have to first and foremost prepare the net. It's no good going fishing. I'm not a fisherman. My father took me fishing once and I didn't like it. And I've never been a lover of that sport or... We've got a dear friend and he's a maniac, but he's not a maniac, but he's so, remember him, Terry? He'd go fishing everywhere and I just don't like fishing, I don't see the point in catching the fish and then letting it go. But anyway, it's first and foremost getting your net back into shape. And in Mark chapter 1 and verse 19, and it says that Jesus was there and he saw the disciples in a boat, and it says that they were on the shore, and they were mending their net. Now, I'm not a fisherman. I don't know if you've got fish, anybody knows much about fishing. But I do know this, that it's no good fishing with a torn net. It's no good fishing with a net that's not really able to catch any fish. Pointless. You must prepare the net for fishing. And Jesus, when he went and he was calling the disciples in Mark chapter 1 and verse 19. And when he got a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their net. I've seen fishermen mending nets. No doubt most of us have, but they take great pride and they take a long time mending every aspect of the net, so it's absolutely fit for the purpose. The first thing in fishing and casting your net, and the net is your life, is that the fact that the net must be perfectly complete. Your life is complete in Jesus Christ. We know that. Salvation is a complete work of Christ. Everything that we have is because of his grace, his love, and his mercy for us. But is there any holes in your life? Is there anything in your life that God needs to mend in order to make you fit to do his work? Think about it. Is there anything, any part of your life that you need the Lord to break in? We were at a conference yesterday, and one of the things that they said, is there anyone that you've got to forgive? And I'm saying that. Is there anyone that you need to forgive? Because forgiveness is a stronghold. And you need to forgive other areas of your life which the Holy Spirit will bring to light. You need to put right. You need to deal with it. You need to repair your life. Do you need restoring? Is there any area of your life you need restoring? You let go of some of the things that God has given to you, your ministry or your whatever God has destined you to do, and you've not yet fulfilled it because you've let it go. God will never make anyone do anything you don't want to do. Not at all. It's so loving. I think it's an insult to the grace and the love of God to say that, yeah, God made me do it. No. God doesn't do that. But he just willingly wants you to surrender to him and let him mend your life, mend your net, make you ready, preparing you for fishing. Then the second thing that I noticed, and it's in Luke chapter 5, verse 2, was the fishermen or the disciples were not only mending the net, but they washed their nets. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 2, it says, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Now, the reason fishermen wash their nets is to take out all the debris or the rubbish that they caught fishing so that the net is clean. Is there anything in your life that needs washing? There's only one way of being washed, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Coming to the foot of the cross and acknowledging your need of him and the fact that, Lord, I really need you in this area of my life. There's some areas in my life, Lord, that are not quite right. I just want to serve you, Lord. I do want to bring people to know you. I do want to tell others about you. I do want to cast my net for you, Lord. But at the moment, my net is full of so much. Lord, help me to let you wash me so that, Lord, anything, any sin or anything in my life that needs taking, Lord, just wash me clean. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes whiter than snow. Yeah. At one time in my life, I used to say it was washes as white as Omo. Omo was a powder, a detergent. Omo. Some of you remember that. It's no longer on the market. It used to be a washing powder. Because really nothing but the blood of Jesus can take away those things in your life, your sin. Let the blood of Jesus wash over you. And it's a cleansing. It's a cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. It's a continuous cleansing in the blood. But we need the Lord by the Holy Spirit to do his work in our hearts, in our lives, to make us ready, fit for the casting of our net. So is anything in your life that needs washing? And the reason for all this, that God prepares us, and sometimes in our lives it takes a while for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to make us really fit for the purpose that God wants us to do and to really cast our net out for him. The purpose is so that we are effective for the kingdom. God wants us to be effective in this world. He wants the Church of Jesus Christ to rise and shine and be the light in the world that we're meant to be, because we are called to be the light of the world. The church at one time was looked to by the state as a way of direction. In fact, and you know as well as I do, in the House of Lords, that still representation of the Church of England. It was an important sign it really needed. The country needed something that was biblical, that was God-inspired, and something that was from God. But sadly, we're no longer in that place. But we want to and we need to be more effective. God wants us individually, as a church, corporately, as a body of Christ, to be really effective for the kingdom of God. And so how are you preparing your net? How are you? How prepared are you this morning? And I ask myself, Dennis, how prepared are you this morning for the Holy Spirit to take hold of you and trust you so you cast your nets for the kingdom of God? So that's the first thing, is to prepare your net. The second thing is simply this. It's simple, but it's obvious. And that is plan. Prepare and plan the Lord's way. What do I mean by that? You know, sometimes I have a book and I got to admit and say, I apologize, Lord, I should read it. Because it's called Effective or Prophetic Evangelism by Mark Stibbe. I don't know if anybody knows. Got the book. I've got the book. I have looked at it. But that's prophetic evangelism. And I believe in it, even if you're not in that way prophetic, then as you do the work for casting your net for the kingdom of God, let the Holy Spirit lead you and give you instruction, give you guidance and lead you in the way that you should go. I used to pray when I was a young man, Lord, this day, lead me to some soul today. Just help me, Lord, what to pray. It was a poem, but I used to use the two lines, Lord, this day, lead me to some soul and help me and teach me what to say. Because when we are really submitted to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to use you and work through you to be effective in evangelism, effective in the kingdom of God, then we need to bow the knee to him and say, Holy Spirit, it's your work. Let it be done your way. Because, Lord, to get the best results, it has to be done your way. In John chapter 21, verse 3, it says that the disciples fished all night and they caught nout, nothing. Yet these men were experienced disciples. Why did they not catch any fish? I don't know. But in the spiritual contents in our lives, we have to ask the question, why am I not being effective in evangelizing, in telling others, or serving the Lord, whatever? And you have to ask yourself, am I doing it right? Because these were experienced fishermen, and they toiled all night. And then Jesus said to them in verse 6 of John 21, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. I love that because, you know, so they cast their nets, we're told, and they caught a great haul. In fact, they caught 153 fish. You want to know why it's 153? Well, there are theories that at that time there was only 153 specimens of fish. I really don't know. Unless Nick can enlighten us on that. I don't think it really matters. I don't believe in going in biblical numerology, doing numbers in the Bible. But some say that even it's 17. If you take 17 and add it 17 every time, so you get 1 plus 2 is 3 and so on. I've tried it. I can't quite get there. But apparently they say that if you add it all up, it comes to 153. Well, we know that 7 in the Bible is perfection, and we know that 10 is a biblical number because there's 10 commandments. But that's just, whatever the reason is, it doesn't really matter. But they did it right. They cast their nets and they draw in a hold of fish. You know, don't give up. If you're feeling that your life and you're trying to serve the Lord and witness to the Lord, don't give up. Get before the Lord and mend your nets, and then plan before the Lord. Seek the Lord, his way of doing it. Because God has got a divine plan for your life, as he's got a divine plan for all of our lives as a church. And for us to be really, really reaching those that are lost, we need to realize, bow the knee and say, Lord, let me do it your way. Don't give up. Someone said this, it's just a quote. He said, if you diligently are fishing, the net comes up empty. Then think, are you fishing on the wrong side of the boat? Are you fishing in the wrong place? Are you doing it not the way that the Lord wants to prosper you and bless you? You may be getting results. I'm not saying you're not getting some results, but you may not getting the haul in that you really want to catch. See, when you look at the disciples and the haul that they got, there's three aspects of it. We're told that the net was full. Wow. If every one of us fished in the way that God wants us to fish, we'll have a net full. We are told that they were big fish, not little fish. They were the best. Lord, we want the best catch. And we say that, Lord, we want those that you want in the kingdom of God. Lord, we don't want those that, you know, some people, you know, come to church and do church for the sake of getting that ticket to heaven. But Lord, we want those that are good, strong fish for the kingdom of God. Those that are going to build the kingdom of God. Those that are going to help the kingdom of God to be built in this place. We don't just want fish in the sake of the... Although we do want fish because we want to plunder hell and we want to let the kingdom of God, we want to populate heaven. We want people by the hundreds to get saved. But really and truly, Lord, we want our nets to be full. We want big fish. And the net didn't break. And I got thinking about that, and I said, why didn't the net didn't break? Because I did it Lord's way. They did it the way the Lord wanted. And sometimes in evangelism, and I've done it in my life, and you do something and you work for the kingdom of God, and he takes it out of you. But you know, when you do it the Lord's way, it's easy. Really easy. Nothing complicated about it. We think to ourselves in our own way, Lord, I could have done that, blah, 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 blah. And the Lord's like, no, do it my way. You will have a catch, and a big catch, and you'll have some of the prime that you want, and it won't be strenuous. It'll be easy. And that's what we want in our lives, in the life of the church. We want the Lord to really bless us, to use us. So first, prepare your nets. Secondly, plan your nets. And then thirdly, it's simply this. Proceed to do it. Do it. Once you've got your net sorted, your life sorted, once you've got before the Lord and you found the strategy and the plan that he wants for you to do his work, then do it. Do it. God will not do it. God will not make you do it. Others can't do it. There's a song we used to sing years ago, and it said, there's a work for Jesus none but you can do. None but you. Did you know that? There is a work for Jesus that you have been destined for, and none else, nobody else can do it. In fact, if anyone did it, they wouldn't do it the way that God wanted it to do it, because when we have the anointing of God on our lives, we are effective. And we do it well. And it says in John chapter 21, verse 6, for them to get this, they had to cast their net. Do you know, Jesus said to them, put your net, cast your net on the right side. They could have argued and said, but Lord, it makes no difference, because Lord, we've done it on the left side and we've got nothing. How is there going to be any on the right side? There's no difference, Lord. They could have said to the Lord, no, Lord, we are the fishermen. Who are you telling us? You're not a fisherman. I know they wouldn't say this, but this is probably what some of them... I don't know whether Peter and James and John were thinking this at all. That perhaps they thought, well, we are experienced fishermen. But we're told, and he said, nevertheless at your word. And they cast the net. And they got what the Lord said they would get. Cast your nets as the Lord deems for you to cast your net. Cast it farther than you've ever done before. Cast it, I just put a few things while I was getting this ready. I put, cast your net further than ever. Cast your net where you never have cast your net. So as the Holy Spirit leads you, and he may tell you to go and speak to somebody. And I've had that experience, and I think it was something that I told you a while ago, and it's something that I've always prayed to the Lord and said to the Lord, never again will I do that. And that is once when I was working in a factory, the Lord, the Holy Spirit said to me, go and tell that man that you're mad about me. And I was so shy. I was young, I was shy, and I went, no, Lord, I can't. And he was a character of a person that I feared, because he was, you know, he just, the very nature of it. And I refused. And the Lord taught me a lesson, because some years later, I was at a business men's fellowship. It was an organization. We used to have meals and a meeting. And who should come up to me after the meeting and say to me, before everyone else, Why didn't you tell me? And I thought, that hit me. And I thought, Lord, never, never again. If you tell me to go and speak to someone, I don't care how afraid I am, don't care what the situation, I'm going to tell him. Because that was his divine appointment, and I blew it. But God is gracious. I'm not saying that that will happen to you. I'm just saying that happened to me because that was my life at the time that I was so timid. But it got to the kingdom. And I was saying, thank you, Lord, but never again, Lord, will I say no. Well, your time is to go and speak to someone. And cast your net in faith. Believe for the catch. Because everything the Lord says to us has to be in faith. We have to act upon it in faith. The Lord says something, then do it. But you've got to do it in faith, believe in his word, that what he said he would do. And I say to you this morning, in your life and in your ministry and your witnessing for the Lord, then do it in faith, believing for the catch. And then lastly, God, and cast your net with the help of others. And I think that video that Nick just showed has made it clear. We're not in it alone. You're not in the service of the Lord, one man. I've never believed in a one-man ministry, and I've told Ed of the... When I was in Elim, I told the head of, I'm not a one-man band. And he said, if you've got to clean the toilet, you clean the toilet. You've got to hit the floor. I went, yeah, but I'm not a one-man band. I'm in the service of the Lord together. We're all servants of the Lord. In heaven, there's not going to be a place for pastors and evangelists and prophets. We're all going to be together. It's going to be no difference. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that there is this and that and the other in heaven. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We're all together in it. And then finally, that not only are we to prepare, not only are we to plan, not only are we to proceed and do it, but finally, we're to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because really it's all because of Jesus, and it's all to Jesus. And we serve him. We want to cast our nets because, Lord, we want to serve you. We want to see the kingdom of God expanding, and we want to see hell plundered from the very foundation. We want the devil to know that there is a church that really is after his, every one of his. It's the God of the world. We know that. But let me tell you something. The God of the world is not my God. Jesus is my Savior, my Lord, and I love him and I serve him. Praise the Lord for the results. How do we praise? And let me tell you something. Do you know when you serve the Lord, you don't do it for yourself. You do it for the kingdom. You don't do it for gain or anything. But we do it just for Jesus. And I love it, this story. When Jesus said to the disciples, when they pulled the net in, it says that Jesus said to him, have you any fish? And yeah. Bring some of the fish you have caught. Hang on. You did it, Lord. You did it, Lord. But you're saying now, bring some of the first fish you have caught. And that speaks to me of the fact that we are to work it together with Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians makes that clear. And if I can just find it. 1 I missed my notes. It says that we are to work as together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It says this, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But for each one takes heed how he builds on it. So we're together, workers together for the kingdom of God. And we ought to come and thank the Lord and praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, you probably know this verse. If you want to be wise, win souls. But it says, he who wins souls is wise. We all should be winning souls. We all should be telling of the love and the grace of God, of what a grace is. And I often say to people, if you know, when you talk to people, you know, I read something the other day about witnessing, and one of the things that it was said was, don't enter into any theological debate or anything. In fact, I many years ago, attended a seminar on witnessing to JWs, and he was an expert in it, and he simply said this, you can win an argument, but you can lose a soul. Don't enter into anything like that. Just tell them what God has done for you. You're a living witness. You have something inside you to tell, and you want to tell it to others, then tell it. Make it as simple as possible. People need to know what the love of God is and how the love of God and what the Lord has done for you. I'll tell you what, something seriously. Your testimony is a powerful tool. I remember my father-in-law inviting me when we used to go up, I think I've told you, every Saturday to see me, Sandra's parents with our children so they could see their grandparents. And he was involved in JWs. He got them to go up to the house every Saturday afternoon, and we used to, the only time that we could go up was Saturday afternoon. So we used to go up, and then this one day said to me, well, do you want to come in? And I went, no, not really. And he got really scruffy. So I said, oh, to keep the peace, okay, Dennis, I'll come in, but I don't agree with it. So I went in, and I say this to you, just be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. And I sat there. My blood boiled because they said things that I knew that, yeah, nothing in it. I read from the Watchtower book and they taught and everything. And at the end of it, I went out and they said, bye, good to see you, Dennis. And my father-in-law was Dennis, I'm Dennis. Yeah, goodbye. And he went, and see you next week. What have I done? So all that week, I knew that my father-in-law wanted me in the next week. All that week, I prayed. I prayed as I never prayed before, because I thought, well, Lord, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of this? And so I prayed all the week, and then I went in the following Saturday and sat there, said nothing. I'll say to you, yeah, do that. Said nothing, and then all of a sudden, it was a man and a wife, and they were the leaders actually of the hall, the witness hall, the kingdom hall, that in the village that we lived. Well, Dennis, what do you think? Wow. Well, I thought, and I had such an anointing come on me. I said, well, can I tell you something? And I just gave them my testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. And then I turned around to them and I said, but do you have that experience? Have you had that experience of knowing? And as true as I'm standing here, I've never, ever, ever seen two people shoot up out of their seats and get out of the house. And from that day, I don't know if they're still alive, but from that day even to this day, we've never spoken. They lived in the village and they used to call around the houses. They bypassed our house. And every time we seen them, even on the bus, when we were on the bus, no matter where we saw them, morning, Dennis, morning, how are you? Fine, good day, isn't it? Yeah, great, nothing. Because they knew that what I'd said was true. And so if you're talking to someone about the Lord and you're stuck, just tell them about the love of God, God loves them. And let me tell you what he's done for my life. And see what happens. So prepare your nets. Because we're heading into a season as a church. And as a church worldwide, I believe when they're going to get the biggest harvest of souls are going to come. There's going to be an influx of people seeking the kingdom of God. The world out there is dissatisfied. Religion's not the answer. Nobody's got the answer. We have. And the answer is Jesus Christ. And he is the only answer. He's the only one that can satisfy the hunger of the soul. There is a hole in everyone's life that cannot be filled except by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been made, created to worship God. And if we don't do that, then our lives are not fulfilled. And we need to tell people about this and tell them the truth. Jesus Christ died for you, so that you may have eternal life, that you may know the peace of God, that you may know a satisfaction and in your life that surpasses all understanding. Because we don't know, do we? God is so wonderful, so great. So prepare your nets, plan your way, the way that you do to reach the loss, and then proceed to do it. Don't just plan and not do it, do it. And then give him the glory, give him the praise, and thank him for the result in Jesus' name. Amen.